This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. When the U.S. economy was doing well, so was China. After all, we were buying a lot of Chinese goods, and they were buying a lot of our debt. Now, the picture is a lot different. To find out how China is faring, I'm joined by Ted Fishman. He's the author of the book China Incorporated. And welcome back to Day to Day.
So glad to be with you. Thank you.
Well, let's start with what's happening in those factories that produced all those goods that we just couldn't get enough of during the boom. What's happening there now?
The scene on the shop floors in China is a grim one. There are tens of thousands of factories being closed, many thousands already shuttered. Those numbers don't tell you how big those factories are. China has factories with everything from 5 people in them to 150,000 people in them. But the story is bad. I mean, if you just count the migrant workers who have lost their jobs in the last 7 months, that counts up to over 10 million, and that's a government number, so it's probably low.
So it could be many more than 10 million.
I think it's likely many more.
Wow. So it's a bad situation in China. And what is China doing to rectify that situation? What does it want from the United States?
Well, China's moving very aggressively to clean up its own house. It has around $590 billion set aside as a fiscal stimulus program, which means it will be investing in kinds of job programs that we're talking about here. But for China, it's an enormous step to take, by far the largest such action ever taken in Asia. And it will be building schools, building roads, rebuilding Sichuan province, which is still devastated from its earthquake. And we don't really know the full extent of that package because some of that spending may have already been in the future 5-year plans that China was going to roll out anyway. But it is a big number by any count. The difference between what China is doing and what we're doing is that China will be spending almost exclusively on things that make it lean and mean and smart and better as an industrial competitor in the future.
So it might come out ahead after the economy starts to pick up again.
Well, you know, the Chinese economy has some major problems even in boom times. It's awash with corruption, enormous inefficiencies. It still has training wheels in many respects. And when an economic crisis hits a booming economy, it tends to make it more efficient. When it emerges, it becomes an even better competitor. And we've seen this with other emerging Asian economies in the past. After the first oil shock in Japan, Japan really got its act together and became our foremost competitor then.
And how would this affect what's happening here in the United States in terms of manufacturing and jobs here?
You know, I think it is an economic question and a political question, and there are some uncertainties on how we will play our hand. The president-elect, when he was talking about creating jobs at home, he was really stressing incentives on keeping jobs here, giving companies good reasons to keep jobs here. It's going to be a hard thing to do because when companies are looking to economize, if they don't want to cut their production, if they don't want to cut their capacity, but they still want to save money, China is the place to look. Chinese wages are still about 1/40th of what they are in the United States. And for us to provide any incentives that make up for that gap, they would have to be strong incentives. And I don't know that we have the ammo or the will to do that.
Which industries are you thinking about? It seems like anyone who needed cheap labor has already gone abroad to find it.
You know, I am constantly amazed at the ingenuity of American businesses to find yet one more exportable job. You know, it began with cheap toys, and now it's, you know, the fanciest cameras and rockets and airplanes. Manufacturing was coming back here, by the way, when energy prices were high. And then people were looking for alternative sources to China. It seemed to be that, not China's wages. It's almost like the wages are an immaterial part of the decision because people assume that the wages are close to zero in China. It's other costs. So if the world can drive down the price of energy, which it has, then China starts becoming attractive again.
Ted Fishman is the author of the book China Incorporated, How the Rise of the Next Superpower Challenges America and the World. Ted, thank you.
Thank you.